Hi, I'm Brian Buchalter, NCSM's Director of Professional Learning, and welcome to Learning with Leaders. We're all math people. Thank you for joining me and my co-host, NCSM President Katie Arrington, as we talk with bold leaders and influencers about their math journeys and contributions. Today, we will hear from our special guest about their inspiration, perceptions, and insights about instructional decisions that make mathematics welcoming and engaging to a broad audience. Listen and learn about how beliefs, practices, and policies must continue to advance to ensure that each and every person sees themselves as a capable and powerful mathematical thinker.
Hello, listeners. I'm Katie Arrington. Welcome to the NCSM podcast, Learning with Leaders. Continuing our series, We're All Math People, today's episode features three special guests working to support stronger and more inclusive pathways to mathematics education and teacher retention. Let's take a moment to introduce everyone. Dr. Jamila Reiser is a 37-year veteran of Delaware's educational system and currently serves as the executive director of the Delaware Mathematics Coalition. Jamila is a former District Teacher of the Year for the Lake Forest School District, received the Stars of Delaware Award, and was a recipient of the University of Delaware G. Cuthbert Weber Award. Jamila loves doing math, is passionate and energized about her work, and is committed to addressing issues of equity and access in mathematics. She is the author of a chapter of NCTM's 74th yearbook, Professional Collaborations Around Teaching and Learning. She's a co-author of Teacher Discourse Moves, Supporting Productive and Powerful Discourse, and presents annually at local and national conventions and conferences. Next, we have Anthony Reed, who is a dedicated educator with a passion for mathematics education and fostering inclusive learning environments for students. Anthony earned recognition as the Newcastle County Vocational Technical School District Teacher of the Year for 2020-2021. At Howard High School of Technology, Anthony serves as a mathematics teacher leader, guiding fellow educators in implementing effective instructional strategies and fostering independent learning among students. He also serves as the school's diversity, equity, and inclusion coordinator and on the professional learning team. Anthony is also an active member of Empowering Black Math Educators Special Interest Group. The Delaware Math Coalition and Knowles Teacher Initiative, collaborating with other members of the mathematics education community to further the learning of mathematics instructors as practitioners. And last but not least, a first-gen Vanguard dedicated to ameliorating the emotional dislocation students feel towards math, Ms. Shelley Wong is a passionate teacher leader and an advocate for all students. The 2025 Teacher of the Year and Director of Culture for Odessa High School, Ms. Wong serves on the board of the Delaware Council of Teachers of Mathematics and the Math Equity Task Force for the Delaware Mathematics Coalition. A presenter at numerous state and national conferences and co-author of Access, Power, Identity, and Healing in Mathematics, published in NCTM's MTLT. Her areas of interest include humanizing mathematics education, developing students' agency and mathematical authority, and examining issues of equity. Ms. Wong believes all students, with devoted teachers lighting the path, can be technicians of the world engine. Welcome, everybody.
Yay, welcome.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited to be here with everyone.
I don't know who's more excited, us or you, Shelley. We look forward to this one. So we're so happy that you all are here. Thank you again for being with us today. Before we begin, I know Katie just introduced you guys, but if you will each maybe just briefly share a little bit about your journey in education that's led you to your current work.
Anthony, you look like you're
Sure.
Born and raised in Delaware. So I went to Delaware Public Schools, and going into high school, I actually was a student in Newcastle County Vocational Technical School District. And I was in the culinary arts career program, but education was always something I was interested in. So early childhood education was another career area, and it was certainly my second choice at the time. And when it came time to apply to college, I knew that being a chef and owning my own restaurant wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. And instead, I applied to become an educator. And I often share, I knew that I wanted to be a teacher before I necessarily knew that I wanted to teach math. But once I decided to teach high school mathematics, that was certainly the correct decision. And I have not looked back or regretted it since. So I'm in year 8 of teaching high school math, and being at Howard High School in particular. And it's still something that I'm passionate about and excited to get up and meet my students. And of course, every day they're not as excited as I am about the mathematics, but I certainly approach it every day the same, just ready to learn, telling them how excited I am about whatever we have to conquer and approach that day. And just really excited to continue to be teaching, and the opportunities that I've had to engage with other educators, particularly math educators in the state of Delaware, as well as outside of Delaware. And really excited for this opportunity to talk with you all and talk a little bit more on the podcast. So thank you again for having us.
Yes, thanks for being here, Anthony. Thank you. How about Shelly? You want to give us a little insight on what has your journey been like in education?
Well, I'm originally from Long Island, New York, and I went to public school there. But growing up as a child of two Chinese immigrants, I was also an English learner. Back then, it was called English as a second language. And so I think a lot of my teachers maybe thought that I struggled in ways that was more about not understanding the math. And I also noticed that the way that math was presented was very black and white back then. And so I knew that I wanted to change that narrative, that I wanted to be a math teacher to really help people see that, like, math is this beautiful, colorful subject that's not just about being right or wrong. And that as a student, I was able to make so many connections between concepts that I think maybe the way that it was presented at the time, that's a lot of students shut away from that subject because they're like, you either got it or you don't, right? This idea of that not everyone is a math person. So when I think about we're all math people, I knew that that was definitely a mission of mine as a teacher. So I graduated University of Delaware in 2014, and then fall of 2014, I joined Queen Anne's County Public Schools in Maryland, taught there for 3 years before I found my way back to Delaware, where I call home now. And that summer, I met Dr. Jamila Reiser at Delaware Math Camp. Definitely, hands down, still one of the best professional learning series that I've ever attended. And year after year, it's my summer highlight. So I've been in the Abercrombie School District in the state of Delaware now for 7 years. So this is my 10th year in teaching. I hit double digits this year.
At the maracas.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing. And Dr. Reiser, if you will, give us a little sneak peek into your background. What does your journey in education look like so far?
First, I want to say I have the privilege of working with these amazing people like Anthony and Shelley. Delaware is very fortunate. We have a very vibrant, passionate group of math educators. And I don't take for granted any given day how fortunate we are to have such a supportive community. I am not a native of Delaware. I was actually born in Afghanistan, and I lived in Afghanistan for 6 years. My father was Afghan and came to the United States to study and took my mom back. Education was very important in our family. Like, education is revered as sort of like one of the most important professions in existence. And I think because of the diversity of my parents, my mom being a Baptist minister's daughter from Buckingham, Virginia, my dad being a Muslim from Afghanistan, how they saw past, you know, differences in culture and religion and all of those things helped, I think, shape the person I am, where I really believe, number one, that education is the equalizer, can be the equalizer. And that every student should be afforded the full opportunity to get the best education they can. And secondly, that the strength of our classroom and environments, communities, comes from the differences, the diversity of our wonderful individuals in our community. The tapestry of differences and the strengths people bring actually is what makes our nation a better nation. So I think those things influenced my teaching. I actually didn't fall in love with math till I was in high school, and it was not my first year of high school. It was geometry, which my second year, but I love math and science. So I went into college not knowing for certain I was going to be a math teacher, but I knew I was going to do something with math or science. And I went into teaching, taught secondary, both middle school and high school, loved both, and then became the district's K-12 specialist and did that for a number of years. And then this opportunity to move to the Delaware Math Coalition opened up in 2007. And it's been the most amazing journey. And it keeps getting better. I just said this to our community about a month ago when we were having our last leadership coaching lab session for the year, where we have all these wonderful high school students joining us now, and it has so enriched the experience for all of us. So it's a journey. I'm still learning. I'm still evolving, but I love that I get to do that with these amazing people in our community.
Thanks to all three of you for being here and for sharing with us. I couldn't be more excited to hear more about the project that you guys have going. But before we go there, I want to make sure that we're framing this discussion well. So tell us about why you think, why is this an area of passion for you, the issues of opening pathways into mathematics education and thinking about teacher retention? Why is that at the forefront of what you guys are thinking of?
Yeah, I'll hop in with that. I know for me, just recognizing for a lot of students that their success that they experience in math is closely tied to the success that, or even how they view themselves as like a learner or as a scholar in general. So really seeing the importance of the experiences and having positive experiences in a math class was just something that it was part of the reason that I wanted to become a math teacher. And then also as we continue to look at, why is math education so important, just even thinking through that and continuing this work that we've been doing together for this project in particular. So as we think about the issues and of pathways into mathematics education and teacher retention, thinking of particularly for certain populations of students having a higher turnover rate with their teachers, which is impacting the quality of education that they're experiencing, which I know particularly with the Delaware Math Coalition, being a part of that community is a part of like helping keep teachers in teaching, helping them be supported and developed professionally so that we can have high quality math education for all students, particularly in Delaware. But as we look to share what we're doing with this project, we do want that to grow and for other people in other states to see how can they do a similar project or a similar initiative to ultimately impact math education outside of our own classrooms, outside of the state of Delaware, but for all the students who are needing high quality, rich math education. And so again, just trying to, how do we increase those pathways to have a more diverse teaching force? So having teachers that look like some of the students that they're actually teaching and letting students see, hey, that could be me too. And being a role model for students. And there are a lot of positives and reasons that went into this project that, it's as we continue to work with it, we even see more ways that we're impacting students and teachers as well.
Nice. Anthony, as you were sharing, I saw you, Shelly, agreeing there. You want to jump in and add something?
Yeah, like this diversity piece about needing the teaching force to look more like the student populations that we are serving is so vitally important. Like I think about all the time, the position that I'm in as an Asian American, Chinese American even, and I will say that my family, and I've shared this with Jamila before and I've gotten emotional about it, in our culture, like if you are skilled in math, science, like we are siphoning these children into these other fields, like the medical field, like engineering. And so when I think about why is it, especially given the current teaching shortage crisis that we're experiencing here in America, why do we still siphon these kids into these other fields. Why not bend that vocational arc back to the communities that nurtured these students, right? Like, this is a historical inflection point right now that we have where we can change that narrative. And instead of us being seen as like, oh, the people who couldn't do, here's this backup option, go into teaching. No, we are so passionate about what we do. This is a craft. This is an art that year after year, we come back to the classroom and we refine. And how do we communicate that to students and get students to join us in becoming our future colleagues so that we continue to do what we're doing day in and day out, which is inspiring more people to have a love for math, this beautiful subject, again, not some black and white thing.
Reach. Shall we reach?
Listen, I'm over here. Y'all are dropping nuggets already. I'm out of town on this one, so I don't have my maracas, but I found a bottle of Zyrtec that it could win the job, right? Just wow. I mean, you guys are really dropping nuggets, especially on the importance of, you know, are our students able to see themselves in the people that are leading and supporting and teaching them? Do we reflect the populations that we serve? And so we know the importance of having representation and not just being there, but being there, making the difference like you guys are making. And so we can understand your passion for this work, for what you just shared.
Absolutely. I'll just say, you know, I have worked in teacher preparation, especially STEM teacher preparation, and it infuriates me that STEM teaching is not considered in a lot of cases a STEM career. Like, what more important STEM career is there than to build the love of STEM in our young people? Like, our economy, our everything depends on it, right? Like, we play this important role, and it's so important that we get the people who are passionate about STEM subjects, including math, in front of students, right? So important.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, even helping students see like math as a tool rather than as an obstacle, something that they have to get through. As a part of the Black Math Educators group that I'm a part of, and even a book study that we're doing at the district, we're talking about how do we help students have a sense of belonging in the math classroom, and then how do we help them see math as like a tool that they can use to view the world through, and understand like what their experiences or affect change. And that idea of math is not an obstacle that you get through, but a tool that you can use, is really something I'm trying to impart on students, is like just shifting that perspective, really.
And koozies.
Absolutely. Man, we're excited about your work and so happy to be able to support what you guys have going on. This is great. Okay. So we've gotten to know a little bit about you guys. We've gotten to know where your passion for this work is coming from. And so now it's the moment we've all been waiting for. Please take a moment and let's introduce our listeners to more about your math merry goals. And maybe if you can tell us, how did this all begin? Maybe Dr. Rogers, if you want to take us back to the beginning, tell us about maybe the research around this mentoring initiative. And Shelley and Anthony, maybe share some of your experiences.
So the Marigold analogy, which I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with, was put out there by someone who was talking about gardening and the analogy of you know, how gardeners plant marigolds around those plants that they want to thrive and flourish. And at the time, the Math Coalition was looking at mentoring and induction. And we were concerned that our statewide mentoring program was more of an agnostic program. So teachers of mathematics would not necessarily have mentors that were, you know, connected to the discipline that they were teaching. And so we approached the state to ask about the pathways group that they already had going on. They had a lot of current work on mentoring at the high school level, trying to form these pathways. But when we asked how many students really were choosing math, they didn't really have a compelling answer and said, you know, many of the students are just choosing the pathway, but they're not necessarily identifying as someone who's going to teach math. Many of them would say elementary or special ed. So we managed to get the support of the Department of Ed to do a 3-year math science partnership project in which we actually we're explicitly grouping new teachers with math marigolds. So teachers out in the field, like Shelley, like Anthony, who had been in the field, were experienced, were still learning and loving the job, but also caring about nurturing the people around them. And the three-year project, we collected a lot of data. We had a lot of artifacts that were used that were really supporting content-focused mentoring. We had a research-inspired video analysis rubric that we used that was motivated by our research with Nicole Kirsting. And what we found after 3 years was that, number one, not only did the new teachers benefit from those experiences, but the mentors actually benefited as well. When we followed the teachers over the 3 years and looked at their classroom, you know, observation data, we saw that the teachers were really making important and significant moves in the direction that we were trying to go as a community. So the marigold kind of stuck, and the Department of Ed then pretty much sanctioned our work. So if districts wanted to have a content-focused mentoring induction, that they could work with the Math Coalition to support that. So this statewide community of marigolds has been around for, I don't know, quite a few years now, and continues to thrive and flourish and gets bigger. And now with the students joining us, it's like even better. So when we decided to launch this Building a Stronger and More Inclusive Pathway to Math Ed, I thought, who better than to help us launch this effort than some of the marigolds in our high schools? And that's how these folks got to be involved, is that they've been part of it from the very beginning.
Nice. That's awesome. So looking to you, Anthony and Shelley, now that we know a little bit about the math marigolds, what has this experience been like for you?
I guess I'll start. So it was June of 2022 when Jamila reached out to us and said, hey, you know, we got this grant. I would love to hear your ideas on how we can increase the pathways to math education. And so we started off with a brainstorming session of just like, what is the profile of an ideal teacher candidate? And we thought about, okay, also, what was the defining moment for us in our math story, in our math journey, when we decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to teach math. And could we recreate that moment for high school students now as a recruitment effort? And again, to Jamila's point, I think a lot of our high schools do have these pathways. Like I know in my school, we have an education pathway, the teacher prep one, but majority of the students in there, they are considering elementary ed. And I think, again, this speaks to this issue of elitism in math classrooms, where students are like, oh, no. I want to teach, but not math. I want to teach the little ones. And so we were given the option when we went into breakout rooms during that initial meeting to decide, like, how do we want to take on this project? What would it look like at our school site? And being given that freedom to just brainstorm whatever it is that we think we're going to try for the first year as a pilot project was super exciting for me. And so my particular idea at my school site was, you know what, I'm really tired of these amazing students who love math and could passionately communicate this subject to other students going into other fields like engineering, law, medicine. And I said, it will be my goal to convince these kids to join me in this project to hopefully move the needle and get them to see math, teaching math, is actually an option and probably the most noble option of anything that they've probably considered so far. So I, you know, sought out three students in my class and I said, hey, I'm going to be away for a professional learning day. You would be stuck with a sub, or option B, you can come and join me and see what I do when I'm not in the classroom. And so we had students join me. The first year I had three students. My second year I ended up adding three additional students. And the really cool thing is hearing students reflect after each session, like, oh, I had no idea that that's what math teachers do. I thought you guys just make like a handout, come up with an answer key, grade some papers, and send some positive emails home to give them a shout out. Right. At no point did I realize there's all this other thought. Like, you were so intentional in the way that you asked the question, in the way that you let the awkward silence marinate, Miss Wong.
That was purposeful. I thought it's just who you are as a person, you know, super awkward and leaning into the awkwardness. So it's been so, so, so much fun to see these students get a glimpse of what teaching really is, and then also fall in love with it such that, and I'm happy to report that we do have some students who will be graduating from our high school this year, our first graduating class, and they have been convinced that they will now go into teaching, despite some of them saying that they were going into biomedical research,
yeah, or
engineering. And so that to me is a proud moment as a teacher.
Good for you.
Yeah, I would just echo exactly what Shelly's sharing there. Like, I think the real shift in like this experience was being able to bring students to the professional learning that they're in the room with math educators who have been in the game for many years or a few years, but they're in the room with math teachers and really getting to see the joy that we all have about it. So I think that some of the students even shared like hearing teachers groan or complain about certain professional learning or professional development or even certain aspects of the job, but them seeing the passion, excitement, and the joy that we have, particularly in the Delaware Math Coalition, really shifted even their perspective about the idea of being a math teacher. Like, some students started to see it as, oh, this could be fun. I could be a part of a group like this. I get to go to professional learning that I enjoy and be around people who are also enjoying this. This maybe is something that I could be interested in. And I was able to also bring students along to the professional learning, and having a high population of Black and Brown students at my school, it was a particular point of excitement to see, yes, and be able to invite each students into that environment. Again, reinforcing that idea that this could be you too. You could be a math educator, or you could be any type of educator, but particularly you can be a math educator. This can be you too. And to see, we have a graduating senior who he loves football, loves basketball, so he's still wanting to be a professional athlete. But for him to at least agree that if that doesn't work out, he will apply to become a math educator. That's going to be his declared major, is math education. That's a win for me. Yeah. To say, hey, if I don't go pro, I will teach math. And you know, those are two very different career paths, but to see him excited about mathematics and education. And I had the opportunity to have him as an intern in my class last year, so he got to help facilitate some of the learning for younger students. It's really been an incredible experience, really, particularly bringing the students to the Leadership Coaching Lab. I think really changed everything here.
One thing I would add is I think that the students very early on recognized the strength of the community and the feel of the community, that connection that the community has. I think they talked about even their first session feeling safe right away and feeling supported and not judged. And some said, I felt like I was treated like an adult, not like a child, which was very interesting. I think when we go out in the public and we talk to the average person in business about, you know, who would be good candidates, I think we evolved over time, because what we often hear is look for talent. And what these teachers, I think, ended up coming to is, we want people that are empathetic. We want people that care about other people's success. We can teach the content. We can get stronger in our knowledge of the content and our knowledge of pedagogical moves. Ultimately, we want people who care about other people's success. And when you hear these students talk, they're amazing. One of Shelley's students, you know, I asked her, I said, you know, what do you think about those people that say, just go after like the very, very tippy top students in the high school? She said, well, I feel like you need to have had some productive struggle. If you yourself have not engaged in productive struggle, how can you relate to students who you're saying need to engage in productive struggle? So it is amazing how insightful these students were. And many of them said it's not that they didn't want to teach math. Nobody had ever asked them if they wanted to teach math. So I think that's how we blossomed to like 3 or 4 in our first session to well over 30 students in the course of 2 years who engaged in that work. So pretty excited about the momentum that we've built so far, thanks to these amazing teachers.
That's so awesome. Yeah, there's tons of research that says people are actually interested. If you just talk to them about it and show them what it's like, they will fall in love with it. Like, they're interested in the first place and they'll fall in love with it. So I love that you guys are finding ways to do that, finding those pathways to get people involved. That's awesome. All right, you guys. Well, so we are gearing up and very excited about NCSM's 56th annual conference coming up in Chicago, Illinois in September, the 23rd through the 25th, to be exact. Please get registered if you are not already. You definitely don't want to miss this party. But you guys all had an opportunity to share some of your message with last year's conference audience. Tell us a little bit about your experience doing that. And then what would you say to those math leaders out there who are thinking about coming to the conference, maybe haven't done it before, maybe haven't done it in a while? What would you say to those who are contemplating coming to the conference this year?
Oh, really quick, one of the things that comes to mind for me is just giving yourself permission not to try to do everything or take it all. So I know that when I'm in conferences and I'm attending sessions, I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to do that. And it can become almost overwhelming to try to take on all these different things all at the same time. So just giving yourself permission and the grace to take some time to like what's actionable, what maybe small change can have like the largest potential impact, or who can you even bring along to be a part of whatever you're trying to do new, or what whatever that new goal might be, who can be a part of that, who can be a thought partner, or even just to help keep you accountable. Those are the things that kind of come to mind immediately for me, just even from my own experience of like, especially when it's such a rich and there's so much to learn, it can become like, whoa, there's so much that I want to do that it can almost lead to analysis paralysis or just like, just overwhelmed, like I said. So that's the first thing that comes to mind for me.
I just wrote that down for myself, Anthony.
Take a lesson from Anthony.
For me, I have had the opportunity to attend two conferences in person, the one in Anaheim, and then also this past year in DC. And I will just say, if you're thinking about it, stop thinking about it and hit that register button. Because let me tell you, my first year in person, signed up to be a volunteer when the email came out about, hey, who wants to volunteer? I was like, sure, I will. And that's how I met on that Sunday, Brian, in the lobby, when I was all flustered and confused about where I was supposed to go to report for my first shift. And everyone there is so welcoming. It is like showing up for a family reunion with people that you didn't realize you were related to. And they're just like, and that's exactly how Brian greeted me, with a hug, a smile, and hey, let's take a selfie. I was like, oh my God, this is my place. These are my people. And so, again, there is no better place than to reconnect or connect maybe for the first time with some of these people that you may have not met before. And also, the sessions are so cool. I think that there's different sessions, like smaller ones, larger ones, the keynotes, a great way to talk to a shoulder partner and exchange ideas. I met so many amazing, inspiring teacher leaders, district leaders that were just sharing out some of these like grassroots initiatives that were happening at their sites. And I was like, oh my God, I want to bring this back and recreate this. Let me find my people when I get back to school to see who's on board with me. And let's get the ball rolling, because if it's happening in this other state, it can certainly happen in tiny but mighty Delaware.
I heard that, Shelley.
You just listed all of my favorite things about the conference, Shelley. And actually, it takes me back to what Jamila said about your project, about that sense of belonging and that sense of community. I love that you got that, Shelley, because that's what we want at the NCSM conference. We want math leaders to come together and feel like they have a space, a safe space, a brave space to think about challenges and huge accomplishments together. Please go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think I've been attending NCSM conferences since I became an educator. I've gone to NCTM as well. At some point, NCSM felt like a really good fit in the role that I was assuming. But I really feel very strongly now that our emerging teacher leaders and our teacher leaders out in the field need to experience these professional learning conferences because number one, they get to connect with different people, which is, you know, get them outside of their own bubble. I think they grow and they continue to grow professionally. And it has also benefited us personally in Delaware when we see and meet speakers and we go back and we say, oh, you know, we have our annual equity conference. We have had Joe Bowler. We have had Peter Liljedahl. I mean, we've had all of these amazing speakers, and many of those speakers were as a result of connections we made when we went to these national conferences. So I'm constantly encouraging people to join and become a professional member of NCSM and attend the conferences, because they're great learning experiences, not to mention the wonderful places you get to go because you actually are face-to-face at those conferences. So we've already been accepted for several sessions to present at NCSM in Chicago. So we're excited. We'll be there. Very excited.
Awesome.
Yes, I can't wait to see you all there. We'll have to get our third year selfie, show. Yeah, and we'll let everyone else get in the picture with us on this one. Yeah, love it. So listen, we're at this point in our recording. It's the bittersweet moment. You've alluded to it a little bit before, but I really want to give you a moment to address this question. As we wrap up, our theme for the podcast series is "We're all math people." What would you offer to the person who would say, you know, math just isn't my thing, I'm not a math person?
Immediately, I would push back on that statement and idea. And, you know, start to, like, I would ask that person to think about the ways that math or mathematical thinking shows up naturally in their everyday, or in the way that they look at things or problem solve. I would even ask about, like, who is a math person, or what makes someone a math person? And I think about something Shelley said earlier about it often seeming or feeling black and white, mathematics feeling that way, or maybe even feeling like, oh, you have to be quick to be good at math. I think about the truth about mathematics that's in Mathematical Mindsets by Joe Bowler. Or even like amplifying and celebrating the inherent math skills that particularly Black and Brown students have that they often are being overlooked. So I think there's just expanding the idea of what it looks like to be a math person would be some of the ways that I would push back on that idea of, I'm just not a math person. It's, well, what does that mean? And how do we start to make that a more inclusive, think of the more inclusive pathways that we've been discussing? How do we make being a math person something that doesn't look like one way or one thing, so that it can be more inclusive to actually represent how all of us are math people?
Nice. Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, I totally agree with Anthony. I think people who maybe grew up in an age or society where they were taught that they are not a math person, like, that speaks to the, again, elitism of this subject, right? Like, you're either in the club and you know math, or you're not in the club and you don't know math. And it's not about that. It's about including everybody. Every learner is a math student, is a math person. And if we're thinking about math as just a stylistic way of thinking, like Anthony said, it's more about the thinking piece. And so if you have a brain and you're using it and you're thinking, you're a math person. And so I think about, like some of these other things that we've talked about in the math community, about helping students to become more statistically, literate, then these are things that really help to, I think invariably alter the fate of our geopolitical climate and improve the overall health of our society. If we get everyone being a thinker and believing that they can think deeply for themselves and critically and analyze information that's being presented to them, we've hit a home run, teachers. Let's go.
Love, love, love. I think I'm thinking about this. We have and Shelley's a part of the Math Equity Task Force. We have a professional learning effort called Dismantling Inequities in Math Education, DIME, or DIME for short, kind of clever title. And we have been engaging administrators and coaches and specialists and teacher leaders from across the state. And one of the major things that we tackled in the first one is this issue of elitism that both Anthony and Shelley have referenced, and that people's perceptions of what math is and isn't is also part of the challenge. And who gets to be seen as capable of math in the classroom is another part of the big challenge. So yeah. I think when a student comes to you and says, I'm not a math person, I think we recognize there's a lot of complexities that go into why a child might feel that way. And in all likelihood, it is related to all these other things. You know, they weren't quick enough and they thought that's what it took, or someone at home who maybe just says, you know, I'm not good at math. And so it's this accepted norm that they can just say that that's, you know, acceptable. So I think it's just part of the big systemic equitable work that we're trying to do, is to help every person see themselves. We even sometimes occasionally adults in our own community, not our math folks, the math teachers, but other professionals we work with who you would think know better, we catch them saying that to themselves sometimes. So, you know, it is a systemic issue that we, I think, are continuing to work on. And I think we're making some traction, but the work is not done. There's work, plenty of work to do.
You guys, I so enjoyed tonight's episode. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the enthusiasm as well as the passion for really making sure that math teaching is a viable choice for folks, and an important choice that we need more people to make. Math teaching is amazing. You get so fulfilled. And so I'm inspired by your work thinking about that. So speaking of your work, what are some good ways that people can learn more about Math Marigolds and the Delaware Math Coalition? Are there websites people should visit? Tell us more.
Well, Shelley just asked me this question yesterday or the day before. And on the Math Coalition's website, you can certainly learn more about the work of Leadership Coaching Lab, which is our statewide community of Math Marigolds. You can learn about the math camp that we go to every summer as a community. We need to put some more information about our Building a Stronger, More Inclusive Pathway to Math Ed work on the site. And certainly, you know, reach out to these Marigolds, because they're really the best communicators and spokespeople for the work that's happening. And if you ever want to have a podcast featuring these high school students, let me tell you, that would be amazing. And your listeners would be blown away by some of the things that these students bring to the table and share. Yeah.
Nice. So, I think I smell a part two.
Yeah,
right. Tonight's episode, right?
I think we can pull it off if you're willing.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, you guys, we'll get the website posted. I can't wait to go find out more about the summer math camp. I'm sold.
Good. You and Brian both.
We'll post your information so people can contact you guys as well. We want to make sure people can get in touch with you, because they're going to have questions about this amazing work that you're doing. So thank you so much again for being here and for doing what you do and doing it with such enthusiasm. And thank you for being on Learning with Leaders.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you both.
Appreciate it. We had a couple other teachers that unfortunately weren't able to join us tonight, but we really appreciate the opportunity to share our work with you and with your listeners.
We enjoyed it so much. Thank you so much. We hope that you have been inspired by this bold mathematics leadership conversation, and will tune into our podcast series each month. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. You can learn more about NCSM, Leadership in Mathematics Education, and our upcoming professional learning events on the NCSM website, mathedleadership.org. You can also follow NCSM on Twitter at mathedleaders and using the hashtag NCSMBold. Until next time.